Welcome again to Raise the Standard. I'm Michael Rapp. I'm in studio with my wife, Jean, and also our special guest, Alice Fiché. Today we're going to be talking about Christian education. And Alice is the director of the Windsor Christian Academy in Eagle, Pennsylvania. Alice, welcome.
Thank you.
And it's a pleasure to have you here. I know that this is a subject that that we really should bring to the forefront. And I'd like if you would perhaps to give a little background on yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we can go into the academy itself, too.
Sure. As Michael said, I'm Alice Fiché, and I am a born and raised Philly local girl. I was raised in Delaware County, and I was raised in a very strong Christian home. And I was blessed to have attended a really strong Bible-believing church and had and still have a very strong extended family unit. I went to Geneva College from 1972 to 1976, where I met Bill, my now husband. He was my ride home. He charged me $5 a ride, and he was 2 years ahead of me in school, and so he had a car, and so we got to know each other well through our rides home and many, many breakdowns along the way. We got married in 1975, and we have three children. We moved to Upper Euclid in 1984, and I was hired to teach in Windsor's preschool in 1989. I taught there for 21 years, and I always knew that when God would ask me to move on, I would know when that time would be, but I didn't know how he would tell me, and I didn't know when that would be. So a friend once told me that I don't do well with nudges, that I'm more of a 2x4 across the forehead kind of a person and kind of a listener, so I kept waiting for the 2x4 to hit. And it was interesting because in August of 2009, Bill and my dad and I went on vacation together, and I found myself over that vacation time stuck fast in the book of Jeremiah, and I became increasingly aware of the urgent need to broadcast the gospel message, and it weighed very heavily on my heart as we were there in Ireland together. And I memorized, when we were away, Jeremiah 20, verse 9, and that verse says, "If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary with holding it in, and I cannot." And on the last day of our vacation, I told Bill and my dad that I knew that this would be my last year at the preschool. I didn't know how, and I didn't know why, but I knew that that was true. Well, we got home on Sunday night, and on Monday morning, I got a call from the chairperson of the Windsor Christian Academy Board, and she asked me to consider becoming the director of the academy for the 2009-10 school year, and that was just 2 weeks away.
Wow. Yeah. So you kind of got thrown into that. We should also mention your vacation in Ireland. Your mother's from Ireland.
Yes.
So Alice is a full Irish lass here, and
My mother used to tell us that we were a bunch of Yankees, but because my dad was a New Jersey boy.
Well, we won't hold that against him either.
Yeah.
So you then came back and were kind of thrown in. Now, you were associated with the academy prior to this.
Well, by virtue of the fact that the preschool and the academy are both both ministries of the Windsor Baptist Church. And so we are there together in the same facility, and we are working together side by side. We're sharing the same space. My daughter worked at the academy. She was the music teacher and the librarian and media instructor for a number of years. So there's always been that close contact.
And what was the situation that you got thrown into here?
Well, the situation that I was put into, and I'm not going to say I was thrown into it, because it was really a very decidedly God-led decision that I ended up in the position that I'm in. The school was really small in 2009 and 10. We had gone down to 53 students in the academy. The preschool was still going strong, and it still had just the usual number of students in the preschool. But the academy had gone down to 53 students, and it was a difficult year because we didn't have enough money coming in from the tuitions to be able to pay the teachers. We didn't have enough money coming in from the tuitions to really buy our curriculum or to buy much curriculum, but God provided. And so I decided that I would still do this. I would take on the position, and I knew that God would provide and that He would give kind of like the manna He would give every day, what we needed to be able to go to the next.
So from there, how did you make the change? How did this all come about?
Well, I continued to work actually in the preschool for that year because I had already committed to work for the preschool for that coming year. So I continued to do that for 3 days a week. I would be in the preschool teaching. And then as soon as my day was over there, I would come down to the academy office, and I would work in the academy office then until the evening hours, into the evening hours. And then on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I would work the entire day in the academy office. It was a blessing that we were down to only 53 students for that year because it wasn't nearly as busy. The academy wasn't as busy, and there wasn't as much on my desk for me to do. But it was a good year. It was a year that I was able to take people around for tours, and I was able to listen to the questions that they were asking me, and I was able to assess really through the questions that I was being asked what it was that we were as a school and how we were conducting ourselves as a Christian institution of education.
So at that time, then, there were really two different schools. There was a preschool, and there was also the academy, correct?
Correct.
What are the confines of the preschool? What are the ages, and how many were in the preschool at that time?
The preschool at that time was ages 3 through 5s, the early 5s. And at that time, I think they were somewhere around 180 kids in the preschool. Now they have included a 2.5-year-old class as well. So they have expanded their program since then. And they have well into, I think, the 200, around about that.
For the academy, what were the grade levels?
The academy at the time was grades K through 5. And there again, that was one of the biggest questions that I was asked as I was touring people. What do the kids do after 5th grade? You know, when you're enrolling somebody, a child in the kindergarten, it seems like 5th grade's a long way away. But anyone who has raised kids knows that that 5th grade year comes very quickly. And so a lot of the parents were very astute to ask, you know, what are we supposed to do at the end of the 5th grade? And so we were convinced at that point in time that God was really encouraging us to at least extend our program through the 8th grade.
So the preschool was pretty well established then, and I would assume that was a full plate for the number of students enrolled there. But the academy
was growing.
Was growing, but it was still really limited at only 53 students. And
yeah, the academy had been at one point up to the you know, the 120 mark, I think, was its highest prior to that. And it had suffered as a result of the economy suffering. It had suffered as a result of just a number of different factors, you know, because we were only K through 8th and because we were a small facility. I think that
K
really
through
did.
5, you mean?
K through 5,
that,
rather. Yeah. Sorry, we're K through 8 now.
Okay. So at that point then, you were kind of a fledgling school, and it was your objective was to grow this and to stabilize it.
Yeah, we were at that point in time. We had begun in the academy began in 1996. So we were well established, but it was a fluctuating school at that time. And I think there again, I think it fluctuated as a result of the economy. I think it was very affected by the economy. It was very affected by the fact that the school is located within a school district that is touted to be a very fine school district. And that did influence the amount of students that were coming to the school.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break in a minute, and we'll be back on the other side, and we'll continue this conversation.
The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 6:10 to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might so we can stand in the evil day. Let me ask you, are you standing strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network and the American Pastors Network, agreeing with the Apostle Paul that when the days are evil, we need God's armor. To modern culture, right is wrong and wrong is right. Good is evil and evil is good. The war against God, the truth, and God's people was started by the devil and is in full swing. The Bible tells us that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will be targeted and will suffer persecution in the spiritual war. So what must we do? Put on the whole armor of God. Imagine, God designed armor to help us in the spiritual battle and available to us. In the next few weeks, we'll look at this armor of God and what it's for and why we'd better put it on. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you, did you put on God's armor today? Are you even in the battle?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
Tune in, Putting Your Financial House in Order, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on WFYL, 1180 AM.
Hi, folks. Mike Kaminsky here, co-host and local sponsor of Putting Your Financial House in Order. People ask me all the time, do you like being on the radio? And I answer, absolutely. I personally feel being on the radio is the next best thing to being able to sit down one-on-one with you. It's a great way to help educate you on many areas of personal and business finance. So I hope that if you do have questions, you'll pick up the phone and you'll give me a call. I'd be more than happy to answer any and all questions you have. That's why I'm here. That's why I co-host and sponsor the program. So now is a great time to get your questions answered. So simply give me a call at 484-671-2461. That's 484-671-2461.
Putting your financial house in order.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Where to be found? Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
No. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great! And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Raise the Standard. Alice, in the first segment, we were talking about the school itself, about the academy. You were indicating that the parents coming through for tours and so forth, they were having a lot of questions. What are the types of things that you were confronted with?
The things that I was confronted with, the questions that I was confronted with, actually helped us to define what it was that we were and what it was that we probably should become. I can tell you a little bit about these questions. Some of them were things like, why should I spend money to send my child to Windsor Christian Academy when I'm already spending a considerable amount of money on my taxes every year? And we do have a relatively well-regarded school district. And the other question that I was asked all the time was, how do your academics and curriculum compare to the local school districts? And as I was touring these parents around, passages like Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the wicked, or stands in the way of the sinners, or sits in the seat of scoffers. These kinds of passages kept coming to my mind as I was trying to answer these questions. So what I realized that we were doing was we were trying to take an already filled beaker of water. Let's say we have two beakers of water, and the one beaker of water is the local public school district's beaker of academics. So it's filled with their academic beaker of water. And then Windsor Christian Academy, and I think quite a few other Christian schools would find that they were doing the same thing, we would have the same beaker of academic water. And instead of being integrally different, all we were doing was we were kind of floating, you know, like an oil slick of religion and Jesus on top. And so a lot of the people were coming through and they were saying, you know, really, for the money, can I just send my child to the local public schools and just have them go to Awana, or have them go to Sunday school, or have them go to church and have the Christian component be put into that? And so what I realized that we were doing was, instead of starting with something that is integrally different, so if I were to take that same beaker of water and I were to drip a drip of food coloring into that beaker of water, then it becomes substantially changed. To be distinctively Christian, we discovered that the education really has to be more than adding Bible classes into our curriculum. It even had to be more than integrating Bible into the curriculum that was already set. Instead of doing that, we needed to start with the standard. We needed to start with the scriptures, and all of our academics then are built from that. And instead of paralleling the academic objectives of the local public school, we would then have our objectives and our standards be set by scripture, and our standards be set by God. He is our truth, and he is our beauty, and he must give us our notoriety. And so this was what we really kind of came to realize as I was touring these parents around the school.
So at that point, what changes did you make to allow the parents to justify the expense of private school?
Well, rather than comparing apples to apples, we realized that we as a Christian school should not be the same apple. We shouldn't even be in the same fruit basket. We needed to be, and there should be not really much of a comparison between the public school and what it is that we would be as a Christian school. So we would be both academic institutions, but as far as how we would teach, the paradigm that we would use for our teaching standard, the two would be very different. So I was no longer then having to answer the question, how do you stack up to the local public school? And that was a very freeing and a very liberating thing to be able to do, because then we could say, okay, this is who we are as a Christian educational institution. So I went back to the board and asked if they would consider making a complete paradigm shift away from what would be considered to be a traditional or a more progressive model of education into a classical model, a classical paradigm. And at that point in time, we really did need to do something because the school was not flourishing. And so the board made a great leap of faith, and they agreed that that would be something that we would do. So Diane Fitzmeyer, who was the board chair at the time, and Pastor Ben and I went around to a number of different schools in the local area, well, from Maryland to Pennsylvania, and we toured different classical Christian schools, and we found out what they were doing, and we found out how they were doing it, and we decided that that would be the paradigm that then we would follow. Now, this paradigm is different in that it does start with the truth. So it starts with the truth of Scripture. It doesn't teach worldview as a class. It is a worldview that is integral to everything that we teach. So English is taught through a Christian worldview. Math is taught through a Christian worldview. It's not just something that is on top of everything. It's not just like the oil slick on top or the icing on the cake. It is in all and through all of our education. This was a really big deal for us because it meant that we were going to have to be investing a lot of money that we didn't have in curriculum. We were going to have to be discarding a lot of the curriculum that we had already purchased that was really more in the progressive line of things, and we were going to have to start all over. We also invested in having a man named Andrew Kern come from Searcy Institute, which is a classical educational institution of itself, teaching teachers how to teach classically and teaching schools how to become classical schools. And we invested in having him come in the summertime between the year of 2009-10 into 10-11 to teach the teachers how to then teach classically and how to become a classical school.
You had mentioned previously that also your dad, who was an accountant, kept the books for the school.
Yes.
And he did not give you a really strong level of comfort when it came to the financial side on this, did he?
Well, he gave me a good sense of comfort in that my dad just kept saying to me, don't worry, God will provide. But as of February, he told me that we were basically out of money and that there really would not probably be any money to be able to even pay the teachers. But every time we met and we got together, we opened the laptop, the financial laptop, with great trepidation. And every single time there was money to be had, and we paid the last bill for the year 2009-10 and nothing bounced. And so we were just very blessed. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like the oil that never ran out. It was a great time for us to realize that our strength doesn't come from ourselves. Our strength doesn't come from advertising. We didn't have any money to advertise. We were without resources except for the resources that God gave to us.
And at this point now, the school changed and it started to grow.
Yeah.
So where are we? Where did we come from and where did we arrive at as of this point?
Well, when we had Andrew Kern come in and teach us, he actually taught us the definition of classical education or classical Christian education. And he actually started off by asking us to state a metaphor of our own educational experience and then state another that would typify what we would hope our own child's experience would be or what we would hope the children who come to Windsor's experience would be. And we realized that there was education is education is whatever you would want that metaphor to be. And what we came to realize was that education in America has become an anxiety-driven institution. So it is anxiety and stress that drives the day, how you are going to perform, what you're going to get on your tests, how the teachers are going to perform and how their classes are going to succeed in their tests. And it's not a love of learning that is driving it. It's not even a desire to learn, but it's just stress and it's anxiety. And you know, we were really very impressed with the definition that he gave to us, which was that the classical Christian education is defined as the cultivation of wisdom and virtue by nourishing the soul on truth, goodness, and beauty to the end that in Christ, the student is better able to know and enjoy God. And it's a highly logos-based or word-based curriculum, at least in the beginning. He taught us that there are three pillars to the classical academic approach or a classical academic paradigm. And the first would be the grammar phase. And that at the time was all that we were. We were just still K through fifth at that time. And the grammar phase is just teaching the children truth. And it's teaching them all of the facts that they need to know to be able to then form informed thought later on down the road. Nowadays, if you look at what most children are being asked to do, they're being asked to creatively write when they're 6 and 7 years old, when they don't even know what a component of a sentence is. They don't know what comprises a sentence, but yet You need to be a creative writer. You need to put down your thoughts on paper. And they haven't even learned how to do that. They haven't learned yet how to spell. So they're given these blank composition books, and they're asked to just sort of phonetically write and decide how it is that they should put their thoughts down on paper. And what they're doing is they're just practicing over and over and over again incorrect ways to write, incorrect ways to spell, incorrect ways to even form their thoughts. And so if, like, for instance, if a child writes, you know, I said this, and he writes the word said as spelled S-E-D, he writes that word said spelled S-E-D numbers of times on that same composition that he's writing, and it takes 7 times more effort to teach the child then that the word is spelled S-A-I-D and not S-E-D.
So to unlearn a bad habit is a lot harder than to develop a good one from the beginning. That's correct.
Yep.
So you've just done a totally different approach to education as opposed to what we're seeing in the public schools?
Correct. But it's not a totally different approach. It's from very long ago.
So it's just reestablishing what we have done in the past and relearning it ourselves.
Correct.
We'll be back in a minute, and we'll continue on the other side of the break.
Hi, everybody. Phil Valentine here. It's great to be back on the air in Philly, and especially when my show is being broadcast from the Cradle of Liberty, Valley Forge area, home of freedom-loving patriots both in times past and today, right here on WFYL 1180 AM.
1, 2, 3.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gossett, inviting you to join me for Backstage Jazz. I'll spend an hour each week taking you behind the music and into the lives of America's top jazz musicians. Experience live jazz music and connect with the artists through backstage interviews. Join us right here for this season of Backstage Jazz. Broadcasting Saturday afternoon at 4 and streaming Sunday night at 6 on WFYL.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
If you like Car Talk, catch Under the Hood, Saturday and Sunday mornings from 6 to 7. Exclusively streaming on 1180WFYL.com. Worldwide on your computer or mobile device. Stream Under the Hood this Saturday morning from 6 to 7 at 1180WFYL.com or on your favorite mobile device. Go to our website at 1180WFYL.com to find out more.
Friends, Janet Parshall here, host of In the Market with Janet Parshall. I'm excited about partnering with 1180 AM WFYL to bring you a fast-paced conversation every Sunday. As you listen to In the Market, we'll examine major news stories and issues, equipping you to be bold when voicing truth in a confused and chaotic culture. I look forward to engaging my new friends at 1180 AM WFYL every Sunday at 12:05 p.m. on In the Market.
Tune in to Horsepower for an Hour, Saturdays at 8 a.m. on WFYL 1180 a.m. near Valley Forge, the cradle of liberty. Horsepower for an Hour is your ultimate stop for automotive radio. Donnie and Spence bring you everything automotive. Horsepower for an Hour, every Saturday at 8 a.m. on WFYL 1180 a.m. Working for your liberty.
It's the Horsepower for an Hour show.
Sure.
Hi, this is Mark Sizek, your host on This Is My Word, each Sunday at 8.05 a.m. Our speaker is Dan Peters, senior pastor at Limerick Chapel and author of the new book, 16 Counseling Sessions with the Wonderful Counselor. Join us each Sunday morning at 8.05 a.m. for a 25-minute Bible study with Dan Peters from Limerick Chapel, right here on WFYL 1180 AM.
Hey, everybody, this is Laura Ingram. Thanks for listening to my show and the other great programs carried live on WFYL 1180 AM, broadcasting from the historic Cradle of Liberty area, Valley Forge and Philadelphia.
Welcome back. In our last segment, Alice, you were explaining the grammar pillar of the three different pillars. Let's just pick it up from there.
Sure. In the grammar phase, like I said before, a lot of it is done by just informing the child's thought. So rather than asking the child to give informed thought before the child's thought is informed, we are spending the entire grammar phase of their education informing their thought. And because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, then we are informing their thought in truth. And so, as I said, you know, instead of having a child write the word incorrectly multiple times and then having to unlearn the word that they have spelled incorrectly, which takes a lot more effort to do, we're teaching the child from the get-go how to spell the word said. We're teaching the child from the get-go how to create the how to write a proper sentence and what is actually a component of a proper sentence or all the components of a proper sentence. So, for instance, if the children are writing together as a class, and it's a first grade class, they'll be asked to give their little expert lists, and they will give they'll make a list of what the things are that they are experts at. So a child might say, well, I'm an expert at fishing. And so the class is going to decide, let's write a story about fishing. And so the teacher is going to write up on the board, she's going to write theme fishing, and this is the theme of the story. And then we're going to make the topic smaller, because we can't write everything that there is about fishing. So what are we going to make the topic about? Well, let's do fishing in the Brandywine Creek. Okay, so now we're a little bit smaller. We're fishing in the Brandywine Creek. Now we need to have a problem, because every good story needs to have a problem. And so then they're going to come up with the problem. And the kids are going to all be able to give to the teacher their ideas, and it's a whole corporate idea. The teacher is going to be writing all of these things on the board. The children are going to be then copying what the teacher has written. And the teacher is going to be using complete sentences. The teacher is going to be spelling the words correctly. Then they're going to be looking back at their work, and they're going to put on little crazy ideas. I bought them all crazy, goofy glasses that they can put on, and they can look at their work through new eyes, and they can see if they have overused a word. So maybe they have overused the word big too many times. Well, let's put that word in jail for a while, and let's pull out another word that can take its place. So what is another word for big? And you're going to start to learn about synonyms, and you're going to learn all these, you're going to expand your vocabulary, but you're going to be expanding it, and you're going to be doing it in a way that is actually teaching still what is right. So the children are not going to be teaching themselves what is wrong to be untaught to what is right eventually down the road. The kids learn a lot through recitations. They learn a lot through singing. They learn a lot through just rote memorization, because they're really good at it when they're little. You know, you look at it, you think, okay, but that sounds kind of boring. But the kids love to perform. They love to show off. When parents come in and they're there for a tour now, they can stand and they can sing their different songs about the continents, and they can do their different recitations. And by the end of the kindergarten year, for instance, the children have 52 recitations that they will have learned by the end of the year, and they do skip counting and all different kinds of things as part of that recitation. You know, when you look at the way that God teaches us and the way that he taught the children of Israel, do you ever wonder why there were 10 plagues? You know, he keeps saying in the book of Exodus, it's so you will know, so you will know, then you shall know, and then I will show you that I am the Lord. And he just keeps doing it again and again and again and again till you've got it. Do you know? Do you see? And do you understand? And then after we go to that, then we go to the logic phase, which is the logic pillar of the classical paradigm. And we now have grades 6, 7, and 8 added to the school. We did that a few years back. We added 6, 7, and 8 to the school. And in the logic phase, the kids who are naturally given to argue at that point are taught how to argue. So we actually teach the children from a book called The Art of Argument, and that's a logic book. And it teaches the children how to argue logically and how to argue correctly, and not to just toss out opinion, but to actually toss out informed thought. And then that thought sharpens the other person's thought so that they can actually have arguments and they don't get offended with each other and they don't get offended by each other, because I can argue your thought when I'm still liking you and I'm still your friend and I don't get offended because my thought is being argued with.
That's great. That's what a great analogy you have on so many of the different things. That this is totally different, I think, from a lot of the educational facilities that are available, that you have a totally different approach on this.
Well, we try to do what God has done and what he has shown us in Scripture and the way that he teaches us. And, you know, with the law and just the recitation of the law, he had even the nursing babies were supposed to come to the listening of the law. And this law was memorized and it was taught again and again and again. And then through Jesus Christ, all of this was fulfilled and all of the prophecies were fulfilled. And then you could see that he said, he comes and he teaches his disciples in an entirely different way. If you look at the way that he taught his disciples and you look at the way that then the disciples then grew up to be the ones who, if we had the last phase of the classical paradigm, it would be the rhetoric phase, where then they become the defenders and they become the articulators of the thought that has already been tried true and is true. And then they can articulate it and they can impress the listener with what is true.
So rhetoric is the third pillar.
Rhetoric is the third pillar. Yep. And
wonderful.
We're just waiting for room and space to be able to have that phase.
So that pillar has not been fulfilled at your school because
Correct.
You're only through eighth grade.
Correct.
So the rhetoric is, when does that play into?
Usually what we would consider to be high school.
Okay.
Alice, let me ask you this. How do the children from Windsor Academy hold up when they go into public school in the ninth grade? Do they do well?
They do very well. We have had that question asked of us many, many times, and I think that all Christian schools have that same question asked, because usually the Christian schools are not nearly as flashy. We don't have nearly the facilities that a lot of the public schools would have, because we don't have the resources at our availability. But yet, we have had the children who have left Windsor and have gone on to either the public school or have gone on to another Christian school that does offer the high school years have done very well. Our pastor was at a meeting a couple of weeks ago with a number of different heads of schools and school superintendents of the various local school districts. And when Pastor Chaya announced who he was, the superintendent of Downingtown's school district said to him, well, that's good to hear, because Windsor has a very good reputation. You're well regarded.
Oh, well, that's great to know.
So looking where we are today, what is the size of the school? We went from the preschool and 53 students in K-5.
Correct.
When you first came. And
yep.
Now here we are in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the structure of the school right now?
Currently K-8, we have 230 students, and we are bursting at the seams, and we are constantly looking for places to be able to house more students. That's probably our biggest challenge right now, is to just have places to house more students.
So the number of students has grown from 53 to 230.
Right.
And preschool has how many now?
Preschool is well over 200 themselves.
So you're looking at you're pressing into 500 students in this particular venue.
That's right.
That's great. And recently also you now had to incorporate a second church in order to accommodate some of the upper grades.
Yeah, that was a really big answer to prayer for us, because we knew that we did want to incorporate the 6th, 7th, and 8th grades, and we just didn't have any room. And Pastor Chaya and one of the local pastors met together for a cup of coffee the one day, Pastor Mark Atkinson from Fairview Presbyterian Church. And
the rest is history.
The rest is history. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Yeah. We're going to take another break, and then we'll be back in our final segment, and we'll tie all the loose ends together, and we'll be back in a minute.
Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional marriage, pornography, sexual permissiveness, and abortion. You're invited to join us in the battle for truth.
Airing Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and streaming Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on our website, 1180wfyl.com.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
My name is Nancy Becker, and I am your Recorder of Deeds here in Montgomery County. It's very important for the veterans to be aware that they should record their DD-214 or military discharge in the Recorder of Deeds office. This is important because when a veteran passes, the funeral director will usually contact their Recorder of Deeds office so that they can arrange for a military funeral. And this relieves the burden of family members of trying to find this very important document. But the most important reason is that we are now issuing a veteran's photo ID card that entitles the veterans to discounts and incentives from nearly 400 businesses here in Montgomery County. All the veteran has to do is come into the Recorder of Deeds office at 1 Montgomery Plaza in Norristown. Parking is always free for our veterans. You just come into the parking garage and tell them you're a veteran and you can park free of charge. Bring along your DD-214 and a photo ID. We'll issue you the veteran's photo ID, give you a list of the businesses that are participating. It takes about 10-15 minutes at the most, and this way you will be receiving these discounts. The incentive for the business to do this is we advertise your business free of charge. My website gets about 1,000 hits a week, so the potential for over 1,000 people of seeing your business is there. Also, every veteran gets a list of all the businesses participating. They get it when they come into the office, and we email them to them every 3 to 4 weeks so that the veteran is aware of the new businesses we have. Veterans of Montgomery County, please come into our office. It would be my honor to shake your hand and thank you for your service to our country.
Welcome back to Raise the Standard. Alice, we were just talking about the expansion of the school, that you had to bring another church, Fairview Church, into the play, into the mix to allow you to do the grades up through grade 8. So at this point, the school is doing very, very well. Mm-hmm. It's flourishing. Do we have any openings?
We have openings scattered throughout. Our kindergarten is pretty much full. I think we still have 2 openings for the upcoming school year. And then in certain grades, there are openings within the certain grades. So my suggestion would be just to call the school and find out if we have anything available, if you would be interested in.
What is the phone number, Alice?
610-458-7177. Or you can go to www.windsorca.org.
Thank you.
Okay, so looking for the listening audience, we have a couple of issues here. One is you're in Chester County, and the listening audience obviously is broader than that, so that geographically it may not be possible for them to expand on that. And also you are limited in the number of seats that you still have available. But if anyone in the listening audience is interested in pursuing this, I would suggest that they actively do so. Do not allow finances to step in the way, because you do have scholarships, do you not?
We don't really have scholarships. We do just accept less. We do have a financial services organization that runs your finances for us, and then they will give to us a fact report. It's a family anticipated contribution total, and that report basically tells us how much the family can afford to spend on Christian education. And generally speaking, that is what the board accepts as what the family can afford. And then we trust God for the rest. We also are the recipients of some EITC funds, and that's a tax credit that any local or any business that pays taxes to the state of Pennsylvania can defer their taxes to go to a school of their choosing. So you might want to look into that. It's the EITC
program.
Thanks.
Okay. So with that, also, how would a parent go about finding a Christian school in their local community?
If I were looking for a Christian school in my area, I would make all the visits that I possibly could. I would just go out to the, Google it, go out to the different websites and read what it is that their core values are, read what their mission statement is, find out whether they are parent run, find out if they're church run. There's all different kinds of things that you're going to want to find out. And then when you go and you visit, a few of my questions would be, you know, define for me, how is your school a Christian school? What makes it distinctively Christian? And listen to what their answers are. And I would ask too, what drives your school? You know, is your school driven by its performance? And is that what is touted, or is the learning what drives the school and the desire to have the children learn and become equipped to be lifelong learners from there? I would also ask, I would beware probably of schools that offer a lot of things, but not more. Much is not always better, or more is not always better than much, rather, I should say. Schools that offer acres of puddles are not necessarily better than a school that offers one really deep well. So I would just ask different questions like that and just make sure that the parents are the ones that are seen as appointed by God as being the primary educators of the students, so that the parent is not an adversary of the school, but yet a partner in the school.
Also, I would think that the curriculum would vary. I know that you teach Latin.
Yes.
in your school. I would assume that that is not a common course that is taught in Christian schools, or is it?
It is in the classical schools. We do teach Latin. It's such a foundational language. I know it's a dead language. It's not one that we use in common day vernacular anymore. But yet, when our kids learn vocabulary, they learn through the Latin roots, and they just are becoming a very articulate group of kids.
So is there something in the way of a curriculum that the parent should also be researching? Is there a way that they can do that?
I would ask to be able to see what the curriculum is, and you're going to be able to know very quickly whether or not that curriculum is sound, or whether it's just really more of a progressive model that's going to be all over the place and not quite as honed in on teaching just the fundamentals and the basics and the truth of the subject matter. You might also ask how the children are assessed, if they're assessed as far as comparing one student against the other, or comparing the student against what the student is doing and has done.
I know that on a future show, we're going to have a show on Common Core. I don't want to delve into that at all, but you had indicated also that the introduction of Common Core has brought a significant level of interest to your school, that parents are, there are more inquiries, are there not?
Yes, yeah, and I think that probably most of the Christian schools in the area are having the same increase of inquiry.
So if you were looking for a school, do you Google Christian schools? And
yeah, you can just Google local Christian schools, or you can Google Christian schools Chester County, Christian schools Delaware County, and you can find the different schools that are down there. Delaware County, I know of Delaware County Christian School, and I know of TCA, the Christian Academy. The Christian Academy is another classical school. They don't have to be classical schools to be very fine schools. That just is the paradigm that we have used, and we find that it just is much more aligned with Scripture.
Very good. This has been, thank you so much for offering all of this to us. I think that there's been so much controversy about public education, and there have been so many difficult situations, and it's so much in the news right now. Everything from the discipline issues and the drug culture and all of the other things that are going into the larger public schools, that there is an alternate to education. The fact that they are well-respected and that the students do well and they do perform well when they go into the higher levels of learning. Your big problem now is space.
Correct.
And I'm sure that the parents are looking to you saying, my student's in eighth grade, I want to put them in ninth grade. So
Right. Is
there anything that going forward that you're looking for? What do you need to make this come together for a full 12, K through 12?
It'd be great to be able to have a building, just a building that would be a school building that would be a place where we could be all together in one building. Right now, we're kind of spread all over the place. Windsor Main Campus, we have some of the kids are in the main building, some are in modulars, and some are in various other structures that we have all over the place. It's really nice in some ways because the kids do get out and they get to walk around every day throughout the day, and there is advantage to that, and we choose to think of it as an advantage rather than a disadvantage. But it would be really nice to have a building. There's a lot of open space around, though, so we just keep looking at that, too, as far as rental properties and things.
Alice, this is a great problem to have. You have more students coming to you looking for this than you have room. I know that the space is a real issue, but the fact that God is sending the children to you is just a great problem.
And he will be providing the space very soon, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
Why don't you give us the phone numbers again and anything else that would be helpful for people to find a school?
Sure. Our phone number for the office is 610-458-7177. And for the preschool office, it's 610-458-0339. And again, our website is www.windsorca.org. And just, I guess, as a closing, I would just say that, you know, Christian education is a delight to be involved in. And it is just I think it is watching the body of Christ come together and do what it is supposed to be doing and doing it really well. We're supposed to be there for each other. We're supposed to be exercising our gifts for and towards one another. And I think that this is what it does with our children and with our families.
So any of you parents out there that are interested in sending your children to a Christian school, this would be some place that you could get some use for a resource to get some knowledge about that. And also, you people out there could pass this along to your children so that they could perhaps entertain the thought of having their grandchildren, your grandchildren, go into a Christian school environment.
Well, thank you again, Alice, for coming in. And anyone in the listening audience that has any questions or needs more information, just feel free to contact Alice. And I'm sure that you'll be more than happy to reach out to them.
Absolutely.
And we thank you so much. I'm Michael Rapp with my wife, Jean, and Alice, obviously, here. We're with Brandywine Flags. We invite you to come to the store. We're in the Marchwood Shopping Center in Exton. We have all types of U.S. flags made here in the United States, military, International College, NASCAR, state flags. We also have decorative flags. We have flag poles, both commercial and residential. We do repairs, and we have all the different parts for repair and so forth. So we invite you to come and visit us. Our area code
is 484-879-4910.
And our website is www.brandywineflags.com. We thank you again for listening, and we'll be back again next week. I hope that you have a great Easter holiday.